All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, welcome to my home.
Oh.
Yeah. And here is, here's
so what's your fucking new pan? You tell me about that pan again. I'm calling the cops.
People don't. In the green room, I just, Gary asked what was up, and I explained that I was excited today because I got a new fry pan.
He's like that when he's not recording.
Why do you have to go and just spill that pitcher of tea? He's like that when he's like what, Gary?
Drag you, getting some drag energy. Please continue.
He's like what?
Show me your end tables. Whatever this is, let's go. So.
Well, no, I was okay. So here's Greta.
I'm sorry.
No, Greta, get over you. That's why it's here.
Greta.
Yeah, you know.
I'm sorry. It's so mean to your person.
You're a human. Sweet yeah. Girl. No. She's a sweet girl. You know, I've always thought she was a little bit empathic, right? A very empathetic cat. Mm-hmm. You know, just a good girl. And I want to put that to the test. And what I've done,
girl, gonna go bad.
What I've done, Gary, is I have dipped her paws in ink, and I'm just gonna have her run across this Ouija board and see see what letters she puts down.
I feel like we've done a Ouija board very recently, but this is a new kind of planchette.
Yes, it's a plancat.
Yeah,
yeah,
and chat.
Planchette, French, I think. Yeah. Is that? Yes. Yep. Planchette.
It's a French for plan and cat.
Yep.
So
cat plans. I'm just going, she doesn't like being picked up.
She's like being dipped in things.
It's edible. It's squid ink. She's going to love it. Actually. Okay. It's fine. I'm more worried about my floors, but I don't want to talk about my fucking house stuff because apparently that's a problem.
Because I shame you about it. Yeah. I know, you know, it's not, you know, it's so one, obviously doing a bit. Two,
right.
It's not you. It's just in general. And I think that something happens as soon as you buy a house and you get a brain disease where like you forget what is interesting. I went to go I visited my friend in New York and I was at a fucking, he threw a party and he told me, and then I overheard him tell seven people about his new dryer. And I was like, what happened to you? Like, what kind of brain worms come with every lease or every like deed to a house?
Mortgage,
but, like, yeah. As soon as you own a house, you just, it's like worse than having kids. It's amazing.
It's pretty funny, like, isn't it? Yeah.
It's amazing shit, dude.
Yeah.
It's real. It's not you. It's just a thing.
Yeah, no, totally just, thing. Like it's instinctual. Nesting is absolutely a thing. And I apologize if I have been a conduit.
I'm doing a bit. That's the important part of that.
Yes.
Like I wanted to make fun of my friend Zach, but I also wanted to let you know that it's fine for you to tell me about any of your pans.
that was in the green room. You asked.
No, I know. It's usually a safe space, and I violated that. I apologize. Yeah.
Fuck it. Greta wants to be away from you, so I'm just gonna have her run across this fucking Ouija. That's Catwoman. She hit CATW. Well. Yeah, okay. No, she's gone. Okay. Yeah, okay. No, she walked across Catwoman. She highlighted. Oh. She knows. Maybe she died and an Egyptian woman breathed her life into Greta. Yeah,
she got basted. Y'all got bad.
You bastard.
Bastmaster. To actually make you feel bad, you can tell me about that stuff. I'm joking for show.
I know you don't have to.
I don't have to sure keep a,
no it's fine it's,
but I felt
it's
bad about it because it was uncommonly mean. I felt, and I understand I'm capable of cruelty, but I've been hitting the because I was also making fun of you for that tube talking thing about wainscoting on Slack.
I just
felt mad about that. So
thrift store rescues. How is that not interesting?
I'm not trying to channel that much like Chris energy, but like sometimes it's just kind of a fun bit.
Yeah. No, and my offense at it is also a bit. You don't need to apologize.
Bits are going round and round on Abject Suffering.
Yeah. What's your name?
Gary Butterfield.
Yeah, and I'm angry at Gary Butterfield. No, I'm Cole Ross.
We need the Griddler.
Who?
Because we don't have him.
We're very sad.
Before we get into this, Cole, I got a character I've been working on.
Oh, okay.
I'm
gonna like him better than you.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, only time will tell. It's not mean about pans, though. That's okay. Not the character. In this situation, this person who I'm developing has knocked on your door.
Okay. Does he want to hear about the new door closer that I installed because the old one that the owner put in was broken and I got one of the nice ones? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to open it up. I hope he notices how smooth the action is. So, hello. Yes. How can I help you?
Hello. Hey, I'm your neighbor. And I was just, I was thinking about, common sense.
The Thomas Paine pamphlet from the revolutionary times?
No. Just the regular concept and how it's neither common nor sensical. What's the deal with Adam Seinfeld?
Hi, Jerry. What are you doing here in rural Ohio?
I was wondering what the deal is with like four-wheel drive, because just one wheel will roll and move forward. I'm Seinfeld.
I know. I can tell. I can see your increasingly strange head. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that to your very strange face. Now,
what is the deal with faces? Like, as you get older, it's like you're a jack o' lantern rotting. Yeah. As time just grinds you into dust.
Yeah. Seinfeld. I am psyched. Are you a Pokemon, Seinfeld?
No. I'm just a stand-up comedian. Who was very famous in the mid 90s and early 90s.
You know what character I really liked on your show, Jerry?
Who's that?
The Wiz.
Oh, The Wiz, as played by the incomparable
Toby Huss. Yeah.
Toby Huss. Yeah. Toby Huss. What's the deal with Toby Huss? Like, I feel, is he a Toby? Is he a Huss? Sometimes.
I know you are, but yeah, he was the Wiz and nobody beats him. Did you know that? So when you hired him, did you know he would do such a good job as Cotton Hill on King of the Hill?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm Seinfeld. So do you have any, are you just coming, do you need to borrow a cup of sugar?
Here's the confession is I'm your neighbor. I've been stealing your mail, but I want to give it back because it's so boring.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's mostly the most exciting thing I get is the Sweetwater catalog with audio gear and stuff. Yeah. No, I've been wondering where my Sweetwater catalog was.
What's the deal with boring mail? Why would you even put it in the mailbox and send it and put a stamp on it? And then the price of stamps keeps going up. I'm Seinfeld.
They say forever stamp, but you use it once and it's gone. I'm just pitching. Oh no, I caught it.
I'm free. Oh, thank God. I'm gonna go get away from me. Don't give it to me.
Come back. What's the deal with people running away from me? I'm Seinfeld.
I can't hear you.
I love the idea of Jerry Seinfeld as just this Johnny Sublime style mist.
Santa Claus, but for Seinfeld.
Yeah.
well, whoever kills Seinfeld becomes Seinfeld. And that's not been tested yet.
Yeah.
That could be true.
It's a little bit like how Keanu Reeves became immortal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you think is going to be the person to kill Seinfeld?
I don't know. His really young wife.
That's probably
for money.
Yeah.
Look up that story sometime about how he met. Yeah.
Yeah, he loves him young.
Yeah.
Seinfeld, it's not, he's really towing that pedophilia line where it's like, well, I'm not quite a pedophile. What's the deal with age of consent? He doesn't quite cross the line.
No, but technically correct is the best kind of correct.
Yeah, as the internet has taught us.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you.
So are we out of the scene?
Yeah. I think it ended with you becoming Seinfeld.
Okay.
So right. But sketch you, which is different than show you and green room you.
Yes. Yeah.
Rate those three characters and their interest in Pam's cool.
We just did a dispatch where somebody asked us about cooking.
I know. I just.
Gary, it's a 12-inch Tramadora Restaurant Pro nonstick fry pan, okay?
Restaurant Pro is a very funny name for, that sounds like a Simpsons made-up name to me. Yeah, the Restaurant Pro.
It was $25, Gary. It was $25.
That's how I can tell, the quality of a pan.
Is by the price?
Basically. Yeah, basically. Because most of them, work.
Yes.
And then, but if you get a nicer one, I do believe in a nicer pan, which I didn't when I was younger.
Yes.
I've used a good pan. I'm like, oh, this is a good pan.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used a pan where it's like, this pan, not so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to apparently using it to be boring for several years.
Nothing boring about frying up some
eggs in the morning, all crispy. Cakes.
Yeah.
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 Catwoman, yeah. So this is it's a patron demand. Our friend Jack Chicken Riggies from the Slack, who says, I heard you boys were covering Arkham City. Here's a follow-up companion piece.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a companion piece. I really couldn't play very much of this. I found it very confusing to know what to do.
How is that the case? The game tells you what to do in the lower third every moment of it.
Well, because the it didn't tell me where anything was.
Oh.
So in the beginning of it, when you're literally kicking people into containers for the opening scene.
And it's the same animation for every single one.
Amazing. Yeah. So you're kicking people into containers. There's a part where it's kick him through the door and the camera or kick him through. And I was like, oh, and I kept looking for the front door through it. And it's not a big room or anything, but the camera was refusing to show me the back door.
Oh,
of the place into the weird alley or wherever you go after that. And I got past that and I did the origin and then I had to climb up in an alley and it doesn't highlight which areas you can climb.
No.
Correctly. So I was trying different areas and I got very frustrated and I was like, fuck this.
That is a later innovation in climbing, I think,
yeah,
than this. This came out in 2004 and it's very obviously a fast follow to Prince of Persia. The thing I think that, one of the things that sets Prince of Persia apart from this is that because that is a castle and it is just a fantastic constructed environment that is meant to be navigated by the prince. Mm-hmm. It's more obvious where you need to go and what you need to do. Catwoman, it is just boring alleys.
Yeah.
It is our world, which is not necessarily prince friendly.
I would prefer to be in Catwoman's world.
Ooh.
Yeah. I also kind of figured it out and got angry also in addition to my quitting. I was like, this is fucking dumb. And I'm mad that I couldn't get to play on PS2. So part of the other reason I was having a problem was I couldn't get the PS2 version to run for some reason.
Yeah.
So I put it on GameCube emulator and a bunch of the control things are hold A while flicking the C stick. And I'm like, go to hell. Nobody should ever have used that C stick for anything.
Right.
Like it's such a terrible,
It feels like it was made just for Luigi's Mansion. And then they threw up their hands and said, all right, later everybody have fun with that useless little nub. But yeah, this is based on the 2003-2004 Catwoman movie starring Halle Berry, who I think is probably the actress who is a good actress but has been in the most bad movies of any good actress.
That is always the log line, and I think this is not going to be popular, but I'm starting to question whether I think Halle Berry is a good actress.
I've always run lukewarm on her. She has a magnetism to her, but I've only ever really seen her in bad stuff.
I've seen her mostly in bad stuff. I think the big thing that everyone loves her, it's Monsters Ball or Gods and Monsters.
Yeah, Monsters Ball. Gods and Monsters is a different thing.
Okay, Monsters Ball, that's the one everyone kind of loves her for. I think that's the first thing she won an award for. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like you know, Halle Berry stands, do not correct me. But like, as somebody who is researching this and has watched all the X-Men movies a bunch recently and just generally seen her in some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I just, she's in John Wick 3 and she's okay in John Wick 3. Like, she's not terrible, but I was just like, I was expecting kind of more, I guess. Like, she's a fun character. Like, all the fun from her scenes did not come from Halle Berry.
Yeah.
It came from the creators of John Wick 3, who are superheroes on Earth.
Right. You
know, or yeah, gods among people. Right. So like, yeah, I just don't know. I don't know if I see it. And this is very, to me, this movie and like reading about the movie and stuff just feels very like cynically based on the idea that like, hey, this lady is like super attractive.
Right, right.
You know, and like let's you know, really, really hit that magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this is relatively after, I think, the biggest movie that she was in after X-Men was Swordfish, you know?
Yeah, Swordfish.
Yeah, where she just has that notable scene where she shows her breasts. And as a, what, this, that came out in 2001, as a 14-year-old boy, that was why I watched that movie. I didn't necessarily care about the hacking and John Travolta. Swordfish also had I always forget it has Hugh Jackman in it, so it's the reunion.
It's the X-Men trailer.
Yeah. Prior to that, yeah, though, like her only really big stuff was Baps and Bulworth.
Yeah, Baps and Bulworth, the new store, the new shaving store in Portland. Putting in Swordfish nudity into Google gives you the Swordfish nude scene without seeing a Swordfish. Yeah. I know that wasn't the thing that you would have done then.
No.
But
yeah.
And you know, I don't know, boobs.
Yeah. No, I was 14. It's fine.
No, I totally get that. Like, I was like, yeah, end up watching like a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And here's the thing about like watching so I watched the trailer for Catwoman. I never saw this movie. Like, it seems like it would be the kind of movie that will have its backlash to the backlash now. Like, just
people will be like, oh, the underappreciated. Yeah.
Like, just like probably around the time that The Dark Knight Rises came out, there was somebody who went to Medium and wrote, you know, here's Catwoman, but here's this underappreciated Catwoman, the same way people will go to fucking bat for that 2003 Hulk movie.
Sure. Or the prequels, obviously.
Right, right.
Which is the perennial like forward lash.
Yeah.
That we see in our time.
Yeah. But I look at it and I see her mugging for the camera and being very, very self-conscious about how ridiculous all this stuff is and doing her best Eartha Kitt impersonation. And I'm like, there's probably some stuff in this that could be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is equally as likely that they just cut the trailer to be that way and the actual thing is a slog.
Yeah. It doesn't, it kind of, this is patently untrue, but there's a truth somewhere in the middle of this. Is it's kind of before I feel like a lot of movies were fun in that way.
Mm.
You know, like there are a couple of, like, so 2004, quite a long time ago.
Yep.
Right. Like we're talking about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like a certain kind of fun that this would be, I feel like kind of came about, like it got fully embraced in more modern times. Like there are fun movies before then that I would describe as like, so like I saw for the first time cult classic Boondock Saint recently, which I'd never seen before.
Oh, God. What'd you think of that?
Because I think that's an early movie that has like, I'm like, oh, this isn't like, people love this movie.
Yeah.
Weird. Like, you know, people, the same people were telling me that Clerks was life changing
right
when I was in high school. And it has a kind of fun over the topness of it without strictly being good.
I think that comports with my experience with it. Yeah.
Like it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But it's not super good. And like, so there are some exceptions, but generally I think that movies much like now are much better, like the new Fast and Furious movies, which are all like, I haven't watched them, but people love them because they're just like apeshit. Mission Impossible movies, which people love now just because they're like apeshit.
Yeah.
And then like, obviously, John Wick, Baba Yaga, where people just love those because they're ape shit. And yeah. I just feel like that's a more modern sensibility.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, even if it wasn't, even if it isn't strictly new for the late teens, like it was absolutely an ethic that was dormant in the early to mid 2000s. I think that the Matrix landed and left a crater of charisma from which like no action movie could escape.
Yeah. That made things they very tough. And this is also one of the things that's really noteworthy about this is that it came out the same month that Spider-Man came out, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2, rather.
Which for years and years, for at least 4 years until 2008, was the best superhero movie.
And it's still, like, phenomenal.
It's still
and
really
Spider-Man
good.
Had come out, but this had been in development for longer. So it's kind of before people set up, like, a template. And doing research, I had no idea about Pitoff.
Pitoff is like Tarsem, I think.
Yeah, Pitoff is like Tarsem, I think.
That's like a sentence.
No, it's Tarsus. It's just very funny. Pitoff is like Tarsem to me. He's one of these, you know, one word directors.
Yeah.
Who's hot shit of, you know, Fuck Mountain in France, and then you know, means nothing. Like, his career here is not great.
Yeah.
You know, he made Vidoc, Catwoman, and Fire and Ice the Dragon Chronicles for TV.
I want to see the Dragon Chronicles. Like,
yeah, that does look legit. It's live action. He's just, and you read interviews with this guy about this movie, and he's like, well, we didn't want to read the comics, and we didn't want to be inspired by comics very much because we thought we were creating a new thing. And we wanted to make things, you know, this is going to be a movie different than Batman, different than Spider-Man, its own identity. I was just so inspired by the character and by Halle Berry and stuff. And that is so, it just contrary to any of these sensibilities and contrary to fun in this weird way. Like I'm a bigger fan of superhero movies than like a lot of my contemporaries are. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like at the very least they're, you know, they do what they do pretty consistently.
Yeah.
And the idea of being like, no, we're going to kind of do this, you know, kind of just like sassy lady action movie with lots of cat puns.
And very overt BDSM kind of things, you know, like a joke about whips in the trailer.
Yeah. And just very much trade on this costume that is lingerie. Like, you know, that evokes Michelle Pfeiffer's weird, just like the most uncomfortable looking thing in the world from Batman Returns, but is more revealing.
Yeah. And it's revealing that when you look at what's his name?
Pitoff.
Yeah. When you look at Pitoff, like he get like his log line, his credit is, oh, he's a visual effects supervisor. It's like, that we put somebody in to direct this. You know, who is primarily obsessed with visual effects. And it's not like that's necessarily a problem, right? You get Michel Gondry, who came from the world of music videos and commercials, like these very specialized directors, you know, even Tarsem, you know, coming from the world of like costume design and stuff, like that can work out, but ..
I mean, it tends to end up being movies that are not very good, but are like The Fountain or something.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, this is visually really, really cool, but boy, like there's a lot more to film than just that.
Right.
You know, to a movie than just that. So it's like pretty, you know, and this, the movie won like tons of Razzies and stuff, and the game was not well loved, even though it's better received movie. But I really hated the game, and maybe at the time it came out, I wouldn't have hated it as much. Like it would have felt better, but as is, drove me nuts.
Yeah. I mean, and it is remarkable how much it is just very similar to Prince of Persia. And I was just frequently bothered by how much they had in the lower third, just the button combinations you needed to do to execute whatever move was needed to go forward.
Well, the three types of moves.
Yes.
Pussycat, Scaredy Cat, and Alley Cat and Wildcat. The four types of cats.
The four moods of cat.
Yeah, you get to meet four cats. Two of them can only tell the truth. And two of them can only lie, and you can ask four questions. So it's really make riddles more complicated.
Yeah.
I don't like how you know,
how like limited.
I was on the road to St. Ives. And, you know, and after that, I was going to go get some groceries and then buy some bread. And then, you know, I think I've decided, and this is also a very broad statement that I'm sure there's tons of exceptions to. Mm-hmm. Unless you're God Hand, I don't want to incorporate any analog sticks for anything other than camera.
Yeah.
I only want analog sticks to be movement and camera. I think that when it's being utilized for like an action thing, it sounds like a good idea, but isn't.
Right.
Like it just takes me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That is for camera.
What about if you're using the right stick to direct the tacks, like in a twin stick shooter kind of thing?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That works too. You know, but like doing it, having just moves mapped onto directions
mm-hmm.
on it.
It's
like this, like, flick the C towards the tether point shit is not interesting and good to me.
It's weirdly pulled from EA sports games of this era. Hmm. The idea of the action stick like that.
I could see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, you would do, if you were playing Madden or something like that, you would, you know, use that to do, you know, stiff arms and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. I don't need a stick to do a stiff arm.
No, front. No.
the I got this shit.
Yep. Is there anything more toothless than the Razzies? I kind of fucking hate that as a concept.
Yeah, the Razzies are pretty obnoxious.
Yeah,
it does. It is like a way to see, like, you know, get all your fiascos in one place.
Right.
But the idea of being it reminds, being really involved in it has a similar flavor to like being really interested in the Darwin Awards or something.
Exactly. I was going to make the same comparison, and I think maybe it's because I learned about both of them in my early internet days on board.com. Something like that. It was like, oh, here's the Razzies, and here's the Darwin Awards. Read about these disasters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just there's something about it that really kind of annoys me.
I like a disaster. I like looking at bad movies. I like bad movies, you know, as stuff like that. But I think that the Razzies specifically is like, as a cultural institution, is kind of irksome. In a real mild way, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The plus side to that, for somebody whose work I don't love all of, I really remember reading and liking Nathan Rabin's Year of Flops.
Oh, yeah?
Thing. Do you remember that?
No.
It was an AV Club feature.
Oh, yeah, that's where I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he did, like, he would take, you know, just movies that did really poorly at the box office and mm-hmm. then just kind of, like, analyze them and be like, whether this is any, I think it was, like, failure, fiasco, or secret success.
Yeah,
were the three different categories.
I read a few of those articles because I used to be real into looking on AV Club for the inventory, and that was always like listed right next to those.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's like a bad movie kind of mode that can acknowledge how good Cabin Boy is.
Yes,
you know, like that's what I need, like from something.
Mm-hmm. You know, or the movie we're talking about for Unfilmable today.
Yeah. Even though that was like had better reviews than I even thought.
Yeah.
Than I knew of. Like, I assumed that was going to be like that, but I looked at contemporary reviews and mm-hmm. a couple of people slammed it, but plenty of people liked it.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually like one of the best reviewed Stuart Gordon movies, which is kind of crazy.
We're talking about From Beyond. Yes. We are recording the From Beyond episode of Unfilmable today. So I've got bad movies generally regarded on the mind, even though, you know, From Beyond fucking owns.
Yep. I've been going to this thing called B-Movie Bingo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, once, like, probably like two times every 3 months. It happens once a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's this thing that the Portland Dirtbag community gets together and shows old B-movies on VHS, and then you have a bingo card of movie cliches.
Hmm.
I can't remember if I've talked about this on a show before.
No, you haven't.
I went the first time because they were showing The Running Man. I didn't really know what was going on. I was just like, oh, yeah, I want to go see The Running Man in the theater.
Yeah.
It's very fun. You know, it's like, it's really charming.
How much audience interaction is there?
So people, when you get a bingo, you yell things out, and then when you see the tropes or whatever, they're on the bingo card, people will yell them out.
Okay.
Because the callers have to officially call them.
Right.
It's just very weird. Like, it's not constant. And the movies you're watching are kind of like poorly paced and tend to be a little bit boring.
So it's a challenge to like to keep attuned to it?
Not really. Like, it's not really a challenge. It's just kind of like watching. There's this weird detachment from it that where you only kind of care.
Right.
About the movie. Like, they're always going to have some kind of internal affairs or jewel heist plot or something like that. Like, this guy's a weapon dealer, but he's hiding drugs inside the weapons. Like, some kind of shit like that.
Double.
He's doing the double. He stuck some mixed stealthies between the buns of a Big Mac. Like, kind of shit. And you had to, like, sit through that scene. And like that, it, like, it's this really weird kind of mode that emulates goofing on a movie in a way that is better than the explicit goofing on a movie event that they have at the same theater, where people like literally just say jokes over the screen, which like I went to that and didn't care for it very much. This is much better.
Is Running Man the best movie you saw at that?
It's probably like the best actual movie, even though I saw a movie last month, called Hands of Steel.
Oh, and
Hands of Steel owns, like, that movie is awesome.
This is different than Tetsuo the Iron Man.
There's no Tetsu in this.
Yeah. Okay. Vendetta down in Futuro. Tell me about Hands of Steel, because the poster rather looks very promising.
It is a cool cyborg in a not too distant future, who at some point gets into arm wrestling because he's a cyborg and he has a super arm.
Yay!
Yeah. And wins a bunch of arm wrestling tournaments as he's on the run for assassinating a cult leader. And at one point, they do this special kind of arm wrestling where on either side of the arm, you know, where the arms would go if you lose.
Yeah.
They put a cage with a cobra in it. So you're arm wrestling someone's hand down into a cobra's mouth. And he wins versus the champ. And then before the cobra can bite the champ, he karate chops the cobra's head off with his hand. And it's amazing. Like, it's so good. And he's like the worst actor. Daniel Green, who plays Paco Quirac, is the name of this guy. And he's just like at all times, like, cannot compute is on his face. It's very funny. He looks like Pocket. Like, yeah. Pocket sometimes gets this like furrowed brow, like, I don't know. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, in a vain attempt to understand.
That's a real Pocket move. And he's like Pocket if Pocket was fucking ripped. You know, which I'm glad Pocket is not ripped.
Yeah, well, yeah. And, no, and he's dangerous enough already.
Yeah, like, he's a cyborg? Fuck, dude. Like, cannot. Cannot do a Nyanberg.
Nyanborg.
Nyanborg. Cannot.
That's at any point does he turn his hat around when he wants to win?
No, he just kind of stay, like, his only move is to furrow his brows, so he like just stares and furrows his brow a little bit more. It's good. It's like it is well worth watching.
I love, so I just I made that joke and then I scrolled down on the Wikipedia page. Absolutely, they're self-conscious about how they took elements from the movie over the top.
It's because it kind of goes back and forth between being this, you know, cyborg chase movie and then just going to doing these like arm wrestling hits. Just speaking of like fun movies, like, I feel like the early 2000s, the post Matrix wave, which, like, I'm going to throw, like, the first X-Men movies in there, which are, like, fairly bereft of fun, even the ones I like.
Right.
It's before they kind of had that fun energy we were talking about. The reasons that made me think of this.
Yeah, and this was for the... I don't see a release date on this.
Mid-80s.
Yeah. So, makes sense. Yeah. Well, what happened to Italy? I just want to ask that question. Because this look so it hit Hands of Steel, then Del Futuro... Which I love, just future vendetta.
Yeah, future vendetta is good, man.
Yeah, I just what happened in Italy?
I don't know. They never got over Mussolini.
Yeah, no, I know fascism and stuff. I know World War II happened to them, but
that's literally the only thing I know about Italy. That and spaghetti. That's what I got. You know?
Yeah, that's your file card.
There's a city where instead of streets they have water.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's those striped shirts. Like, I can picture it. When I think about Italy, I think of a mobster and I think of a gondola driver. You know?
Yep. Yeah. Sometimes one and the same. And he's also dealing weapons that are full of drugs.
Yeah. He's been transporting drugs through the canal.
It's a quadruple double.
They're going through the gondolas.
It's in the water.
They're using the gondolas. They're using the canals. We just like figured out the pivot point of our own version of this movie. God, they're transporting the gun drugs through the canals. Let's go, lock and load. Lock del Lodo.
So the other people that he's arm wrestling, are they also cyborgs?
No, they're just humans. It's not fair. And they don't know that he's a cyborg. Like, He ends up staying at a this weird prostitute hotel in the middle of the desert.
Okay.
And making friends with the owner. And the way that it's revealed that he's a cyborg is like she's coming on to him, and then he like turns away and furrows his brow, and then opens up his arm, exactly like Terminator 2.
Yeah.
To show the circuits and stuff, and then they hug for like an uncommonly long time, but there's no implied sex. It's just like he just needs a hug.
It's just maximum hugs.
There's a lot of hug. Plot: an evil industrialist has created a cyborg who is 70% robot and 30% human. Thank you for those percentages, Wikipedia. Yes,
yeah, that's important.
There's some good Wikipedia shit about Catwoman. I think I accidentally closed my windows for that, or I just have them open in a different.
About the game, or
no? About the movie.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find that while you vamp.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that this was Argonaut's last game.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So the people who, you know, they also had Powerdrome and Malice. And I remember, yeah, Malice is probably a contender, should be on here. But yeah, on Moby Games, it is listed as their last game before they come back. And I guess they they were locked away in the office when the place goes down. Nintendo found the key, opened it up and said, "Hey, guys, can you finish Star Fox 2 for us?" And then it was put on the SNES Mini, and then they locked him away again.
Yep, go back to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe it's the video game, the thing, but there is one good sentence in this where they're talking about the cat suit. We wanted a reality based wardrobe to show the progression from demure, repressed patience, which is the name of the character for some reason, to the sensual awakening of the sexy warrior goddess.
Yeah. So
cool.
So yeah, so that they could literally just say, "Oh, we wanted to pull a She's All That."
Yeah. Basically that. I don't know if this Wikipedia goal they had is forever gone, but there's lots of game fact stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fun legitimate whiff. As somebody on the GameCube went, said, "I calm this board!" Exclamation point. And I was like, "Are they making a joke?"
Yeah, I thought they would.
Hail to the king, baby! Like, you certainly calmed it.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was hoping that he would lean into it, that it wasn't just a mistake, but he was But it's the only topic, and he is here. I thought that he would offer some balm for these. For these sick and burned times. A couple other reviews. There's one on the PC version of the game. There's nothing spectacular about the review.
Is it the name of the review?
Yes. Catwoman is a quote smelly cat.
Oh no, that's a different one than the one I had.
Ooh, what's the other one? What's one you had?
God, let me. It was in that fucking tab. I can't get back. This is all a nightmare, and the history thing is not working. But it's for the Game Boy Advance version.
I got this one too. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah, so yeah, the Catwoman is smelly cat, which I think is a Friends reference.
Yes, it references Phoebe's song, "Smelly Cat, What Are They Feeding You?"
Yes. Go, classic. Gay panic show of the 90s.
Yeah.
Emperor Weevil here.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot in the review, but the review is called "It Shouldn't Feel This Good to Beat the Hell Out of Fellow Males."
Hello, fellow males.
fellow males. I usually don't like games where you beat up males.
Yeah.
I hate games when you have to beat up males, especially as a male myself.
Yeah.
Screw this.
Why would I turn on my own kind?
Yeah. God, Emperor Weevil. And yeah, I was hoping that all of his reviews would be like that, you know, like it would all just be, but he's only done one fucking thing and it's this. What the hell?
Yeah. Like, on the Game Boy Advance version of Catwoman.
Yeah. It's the only thing he's reviewed. And the review is just really straight up the middle.
Yeah.
And it's for the Game Boy Advance version, which I guess is like a Metal Gear Solid, like, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't play it or anything, but yeah, it shouldn't feel this good to beat the hell out of my fellow males.
I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm late. I was at the gas station. I wanted to get a pop for the road. I was just caught in line behind like two or three fellow males. They were taken forever. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to cut in line in front of them.
No, not in front of one of my fellow males.
No, we gotta get this male solidarity. What up, my males? Hey, males. Like, all the males in the house say yo.
All the fellow males.
Hey, males.
Yeah, no, that was
got males. It's the Emperor Weevil podcast. This is a fat. This is like as soon as it came out too. Like he rushed to the computer to do one thing and then like came back forever.
Yeah, which is weird because I normally associate the Ferengi talk, the referring to people as males and females with you know, red pill kind of shit. So 2004 is, it feels early for that, but I don't know.
He's a trailblazer. Weevil friend.
Yes. Yeah.
The game fact that is the one that is reused for all of them is not very noteworthy, except it has the like, why are you playing this intro?
Yes.
That feels like it's a new thing. Like we've just started running into it.
Hmm.
You know, like I just think that, like, oh, why would you ever play this game? It's worse than the movie, you know?
Right.
So, but there's not enough content there other than that.
Right.
I was expecting more based on that, but yep. The antagonism leads.
Nothing like that. I was curious and I went to the IMDb entry because the voice actress sounded familiar, but it didn't sound like,
it's the lady. It's the female voice actress it's in games.
The one, it's Jennifer Hale, who I've said bunches of nice stuff about, but apparently she is vaccine skeptic or has voiced opinion in the past. So fuck.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Like she's not full on anti-vax, but is like, oh, you should ask questions.
Yeah. I don't have any, I think people have affection for her are generally big Mass Effect fans.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's the breakout role. Like I've heard her in stuff that is good, but I actually don't like, I can't think of any video game voice actors I think are great.
Mm.
Like, I don't really love them. I don't know. Like Cam Clark and Nolan North, Cam Clark can't, but some of them can fade into a role,
right?
You know, and Cam Clark is definitely just Cam Clark no matter where he's at. But they like fade into a role, but the idea of being like, man, this is a wonderful voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
Like they always just kind of do good enough. It reminds me of, like, you know, editing, like where it's good because you don't notice it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about video game voice acting generally.
Yeah.
You know, and the standout performances have all been stuff like Siona or something like that. Like Hellblade had like a really great voice performance, but it was not anybody. Yeah, anybody knew.
Right. Yeah, like their standout performances. We talked a lot about Ashley Birch's performance in Life is Strange, you know. Yeah,
she did a good job of that.
Yeah.
It's just rarer than like I think. Like I don't feel like Nolan North is great at stuff. I think he's disappears.
Which
is a skill, but
yeah, he disappears, but sometimes he does really good, like in Last of Us, you know, where he is doing something completely different than what he usually is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is just kind of a weird thing, I guess, like maybe because I'm not thinking of it as a separate, because it's all kind of part of the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a hard thing to appreciate for me.
Yeah, I'm a dork for that stuff too. So maybe I'm just more attuned to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Sure.
Yeah.
Jennifer Hale is somebody who I know is supposed to be good based on reputation.
Yeah.
Because of Mass Effect.
Yes. But, and she's good in Mass Effect. That is where I also grew to have affection for her, even though she has been around
she
forever.
Hates vaccines.
Yeah.
She does not believe in she really wants that
bring it all down. But then I also noticed that just on the cast here, they have Hank Azaria just doing voices of thugs. And they've got
2004 is not that late.
No,
he's still in, or that early. Like he still should be commanding something more than that.
Yeah, yeah. And Jeremy Renner doing just the voice of cops.
That's very weird. But, you know, I mean, Jeremy Renner, that was kind of before his star rose.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but Hank Azaria, like, he just, I heard there's gonna be a Catwoman game, and I had to be involved. You know.
Yep.
Yeah, that's weird to me. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot more. The idea of like the lady, like sexy lady kind of leading, you know, lady action movie thing is something that is somehow really fraught, because like to do that well, it can't just be, you know, like there was a clip from the Ebert review of the Catwoman movie where it's like, this movie doesn't have a plot. It's just about Halle Berry's breast and lips. Yeah. You know, it's like a movie about those things. And he wasn't being pervy. He was talking about how it's shot and kind of the attitude Tig off or whatever has, right? And like the to do that is really tricky. Like, yeah. I really want a Lady John Wick. Mm-hmm. Like, and there was a trailer for one before the regular John Wick.
Anna? Anna. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. But it can't just be about boobs. You know, like the way to do it, it can't just be like the camera's looking up her butthole the entire movie.
It can't just be Bayonetta cam. Yeah, that's that is a thing, and you have to look at something. I was about to say Fury Road, but I'll go with another Charlize Theron thing, like Atomic Blonde. I think did it okay.
Sure. Yeah. That's a good example. And Fury Road also does pretty well. You know, that's a great example of like that not being about Furiosa being sexy, but still just very much about, you know, there are like feminist themes and stuff in that.
Yeah,
like,
I think that,
you know, weird ways in which Fury Road is the model movie and has not been matched, you know, in like almost any way. Like,
yeah, well, just, you know, again, only seen the trailer and then saw the flashback material, but like specifically Catwoman it feels like it's an issue that she has to start out, it has to play to the trope that you do not expect a woman to be this competent. Like, you don't, you do not expect this, you meet, you know, a woman who is meek and submissive, like Patience is at the start, to have this transformation and become, and, you know, she can only succeed by becoming somebody else entirely.
And the, which is definitely like, that's a harmful trope. And the Batman Returns plays in that, right? Like, this is basically the story of Batman Returns, like Michelle Pfeiffer being mousy and then becoming catty.
Yeah.
The idea that a woman has to act like a man to, you know, to be like, she has to be kind of like violent and, you know, sassy and stuff. And you cannot attain strength through anything traditionally feminine. Like, you have to change.
Yeah.
You know, is a weird thing. Yeah. You know, there's actually like a lot more of that stuff. I had an interesting event I went to last night.
Mm-hmm.
I know we were running long, but it's been a minute since we recorded, so stuff has piled up. There's a lot more of that in Jurassic Park.
Oh, with Laura Dern's character?
Yeah. And forgotten about a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to a thing last night called that our science and industry museum here does called Real Eats with Real, like film reel, where you go and watch a movie and they give you 12 different like small bite things that correspond with scenes of the movie.
No.
That they make. So like while you're watching Jurassic Park.
What do they do for the dinosaur shit?
They do. What is the dinosaur shit? It's a thing. I'm trying to remember. It's not the dolma.
It's not like a chocolate mousse or something.
No, they didn't do a chocolate mousse. Why can't I remember the dinosaur shit? I'm having a hard time remembering which one. They did do one for the dinosaur shit though, and they did one. There's like a little tiny Tootsie Roll for when the guy gets eaten, the lawyer gets eaten on the toilet and stuff.
Yay!
It was fun as a thing. It's very distracting to have an entire, be hungry, like go to somewhere, have a whole meal set out for you, but eat on command. You know, like I'm just like looking at food I would eat.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna, can't eat it yet because the screen hasn't told me to. It's like really weird. And it all had to be cold, even though it wasn't like cold food. So like you would have things that were like cold, like at one point, you know, when they reveal that the dinosaurs are chickens and stuff, there's like a dinosaur gets eaten and it's like chicken salad. You eat like a little bit of chicken salad.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other things were like when Timmy gets electrocuted on the fence, it was a barbecue pork slider with fried onions.
Oh,
and it was like, and it was cold, like not, you know, ice cold, like not refrigerated,
but room temperature.
Yeah. Everything was room temperature. It's very weird.
Yeah, so, that sounds like a food safety nightmare. Like here, sit in this dark room and eat food that is exclusively in the danger zone.
Yes, it is all. It felt very danger zone. Like, and I also, and I don't know what it is because you know I have all kinds of stomach things, but I came home and was like queasy, like had some stomach problems, and I don't know what it was related to.
Yeah.
If it was related to that or not.
And maybe it's because I grew up in America and not, you know, eating slow plates in Spain, you know, over a dinner that lasts from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
But like the idea of stretching a whole, like, you know, a whole meal out over 2 hours of a runtime of a thing, that sounds like it would be distressing to my system almost.
It was, and it was eating like 12 or 13 different foods.
Yeah.
And like sweets were like integrated into the middle.
Sweets were?
Yeah. Like there were a couple things that were sweet. Like there's a Tootsie Roll. There's like a Butterfinger when Nedry first shows up because he says he has Butterfingers.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things like that. And they were, it was like snack, entree, and dessert foods all intermingled.
Yeah.
13 of them over the course of 2 hours. It was very strange.
It sounds like a blood sugar nightmare to me.
It, you know, that could have also been why my stomach was fucked up because it was just like I was yo-yoing that shit.
Yeah.
You know, and it was weird. It was fun and it was cute.
It sounds like the kind of thing that would be more fun to program than to attend.
Yeah. Well, next month they're doing Spaceballs and part of me wants to go to that just because it's like, I haven't seen Spaceballs in a while.
You're going
to
get Pizza the Hut.
I'm going to get pizza. You know, I know pizza will be involved. I know there'll be jam when the radars get jammed. Mm-hmm. And Spaceballs is funny. All of the, like Rick Moranis is a revelation in that movie.
Yeah.
I love him in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I had very high hopes because that's one of my favorite movies that I've talked about like a lot on the show.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was mostly just real weird. And I don't know what I expected. I don't know if I like why I expected hot food.
Mm-hmm.
Or I expected it all to be like cold things. Like the very first thing was like a chicken mole, like cocoa dusted chicken mole, which like, if I was like, if this was hot, this would fucking slam, you know, but it's room temperature. It's weird. You know, like it doesn't, and things didn't get warmer.
Yeah. No.
As the 2 hours went. You know?
Yeah. So I guess when you mentioned it, I imagined they like having servers, you know, roll out with different plates.
Yeah. Yeah. It was too many people in the theater. Like the theater's too big for that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the solution would be to this other than like it being more expensive and you having like a hot, you know, something that contains heat, like a container, using reusable containers instead of these kind of like plastic trays.
Yeah. Yeah.
These numbered trays. It's also, it was on down at the bottom, very similar to Catwoman. The instructions on when to eat were down at the bottom of the screen.
Mm.
And it was very hard. I kept missing them. Like I ate something out of order. Like, so I had to kind of backwards engineer what the thing was.
What am I supposed to do with these cheesy crackers?
I got it wrong too. It was funny. So like I didn't, it would say the name of the food or the number, and then it would say why they chose it afterwards.
Okay.
So I missed the name of the food, and it's when John Hammond pops the champagne.
Mm.
And I looked down and I was like, fuck, what do I eat? And I was looking around and other people were in there I was kind of like trying to see what other people are eating.
Yeah.
And couldn't. And I was like, I had popcorn. I was like, okay, popcorn, pop champagne. Okay. So I ate the popcorn, and then later the popcorn came up. And it turns out that there were these little candies in the bag that were left at the end, which I didn't know were called like champagne candies.
Mm.
It
seems like that could be that could be handled with a card.
It's yeah.
That you get at the start. Like I understand, like it's not a surprise if you have all the stuff sitting in front of you.
Well, you have some things that are clear what they are, but then you have some things that are in these divided trays.
Mm-hmm.
These like plastic trays are divided and they have stickers over the compartments with numbers. So those are kind of surprises.
Okay.
Like you can look through the tray and kind of see, but you kind of can't see.
Yeah.
So there is an element of surprise to it.
Yeah.
The whole thing is very weird. I don't know that I cared for it. Like, and it's something I was looking forward to quite a bit because it's a novel experience and Jurassic Park.
I did like it. Yeah. Like if somebody gave me a 2-sentence like explanation of it, I feel like it would be really, I feel like I would get excited about it before thinking about the logistics.
I want someone to put this on in their house.
Yeah.
I want someone to like craft a meal around a movie and then we all go watch it at their house.
Yeah.
The theater, like the kind of everyone doing it together kind of fucked it up a little bit for me.
Having a theme party around a movie.
Yeah. That sounds fun with like a themed meal.
Mm-hmm.
And creating that also, like you said, does sound super fun.
Yeah.
Like figuring out the food.
Mm-hmm.
The food that you would eat. But
yeah.
Sure. And Jurassic Park is still good. So it was still like a fun night because it's like the movie fucking is incredible.
Yep.
So anywho.
Yeah, I don't have anything more to say.
No, I think that's Catwoman.
I think that's Catwoman.
I think that's Catwoman to me. I've called this board.
I called this.
Thank you, Jack.
Yes, thank you, Jack. This also in Gen Pop was suggested by Sam Bear.
Oh, thank you, Sam.
Yeah.
Superstars.
Yep.
come to Duckfest.
Please do. It is going to be August the 31st in Portland, Oregon at the Clinton Street Theater.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing.
Yes.
Whole day of duck programming, including this show. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly what we'll do, but it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And the other thing you can do is if you patronize us, if you go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, you can either get bonus episodes or suggest games for us. Not suggest, demand.
Demands. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
I think that's about it. We talked about in the middle of this, we talked about watching From Beyond and talking about that. If you're curious, you know what that's about, that can also be found at the Patreon, on our patron only film, patron only podcast, Unfilmable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Very fun, good show. And you get all the back episodes.
Yes.
So, that only gets more valuable. So mm-hmm. as soon as you get $5, you get all that stuff, including Watch Out for Fireballs and Mod Fireside Chat and all kinds of things. And if you want the stuff before we made the change, mm-hmm. that's a $10. And there are tons of episodes of the show
yeah.
that you get. Yeah. And we really appreciate your generosity.
Yes. Thank you very much.
So, yeah. So until next time, who is Cat Dog? Who is Zoo Cat?
Yeah. Any of those.
No.
All right.
All right.